to the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
If you're drowning and I throw you a life jacket, would you grab it? Yes, good. Pick up 200 shares. I won't let you down.
Pay him. Pay that man his money.
Ask them how they'd like to see 30, 40% returns. What are they going to say? No? I don't want to see those returns?
Where's the money, Lebowski?
You're going to make a lot of money, right?
Be aggressive. Learn how to push.
Show him a 3% return, and I'll trust you to watch his kids for the weekend.
I'm a big fan of money.
Move around. Motion creates emotion.
I did not know that.
That's it. I'm done.
Hello, my face, Dyson Jax. I'm Tim Alley's Mr. Matt Weber. S&P futures up 4. They were up 8 last night. Now futures up 40. NASDAQ futures up 6 only. So we'll see what happens at the start of December. December usually a pretty good month, but got a few pretty good months in a row. So we will see. I think the market's a little ahead of itself. I'm trying to stay long. It's kind of hard to. Maybe this year, if you didn't have Apple and Microsoft, 1,100 points in the Dow, two stocks.
Wow.
Pretty interesting, huh? Is Microsoft is the absolute sneaky monopoly that nobody seems to be able to deal with or wants to. And when I say be able to, why be able to if you don't want to? And they just got that huge deal with the military because, I don't know. I mean, I can't tell who the best cloud person is, but doesn't it... I don't know. I don't know if it bothers me, but what does it say to you? Because you know much more about systems than I do. Matter of fact, when I was waiting for you this morning, all they did was talk about how if you're on the road, now you're on the road all the time. I don't know how much is in your phone. You're probably not as bad as me. There's nothing in my phone. other than a few phone numbers, that's it. I got one picture of my grandniece. So that's it. So you can hack mine all you want. But, not that I'd want somebody to do it, by the way, just for aggravation's sake. I wouldn't want you to, but that if you put your phone in the UP port in a hotel or an airport, how do you hack out of a UP port?
I'm not sure. I don't know.
That was a big risk this morning. Now, you're supposed to bring your own wire with you and use a plug, because if they... I'm the Luddite on this. If somebody knows, please let us know. How the hell do you get into somebody's phone from the power outlet? But if there's a will, there's a way, they say, right?
That's right.
Anywho, I was kind of, do you really want all the Pentagon stuff in the cloud?
Probably not, as we've seen. Anything in the cloud is up for grabs.
So why, they must obviously... The people doing it, I'm assuming...
Nothing sensitive anyway. I think you can have stuff in the cloud, certainly. I mean, there's all kinds of data that you have that is different levels of sensitivity, right? And when it's essentially, free and limitless to store it, I think the cloud's a great thing. But when it comes to...
Well, it's not free, right?
Well, I mean, nothing's free, right?
Well, I guess I don't...
But you don't have, huge warehouses of servers to store data when it's on the cloud, per se.
You don't. Somebody does.
Somebody might, but you don't.
Well, it's not like the military doesn't have a massive budget. Look at how much they spend on other stuff.
That's right. They do.
I don't know. But that was how big was that contract? It was, what, $20 billion, $30 billion, some huge number. Give it a quick Google. Because wasn't Amazon was supposedly the best... Allegedly, and then Trump was all pissed off at Amazon, so they gave it to Microsoft. Isn't that what happened?
For what?
For the big military cloud contract that just got
let me see,
4 months ago. It was like the $4.5 billion contract to Boeing to save their ass to go refurbish B-52s, which probably need to be refurbished, but the timing was interesting.
The recent one was a $10 billion military cloud contract.
What's the number?
In October, yep.
And it went to Microsoft, right?
It went to Microsoft, yep.
The other news of the morning is Trump revised Brazil or Argentina steel tariffs and swipe at the Fed. I don't know, because... I have no idea what he thinks he's doing with the Fed. The Fed couldn't possibly, I hope, I didn't want to say this, I hope the man is not ignorant enough to think that But because if there was negative interest rates, he just gets to spend all he wants because people are paying him to do it without any kind of a, you know, kind of a counter move somewhere else like Savers. And, I mean, what do you do to Savers? What do you do to 401k people? What do you do to retirement, you know, things? If everybody has to pay to have somebody keep their money. I mean, boy, oh boy. All right. Jan Flanagan calling in 6:30 and David at 7:30. So we're talking a bunch of stuff in the, what do you think's going on? I can't get over how the swings in this football's been this year. This Pittsburgh thing is startling to me. 1-3 and you lose your quarterback and you look horrible. I would have bet those guys are on their move to a 3-13 year, and now what, they're 7-5?
Well, they made a big trade, and they traded a first round pick for Micah Fitzpatrick, the star safety that was out of Alabama that the Dolphins drafted in the first round, and the Dolphins are rebuilding, so they used him as an asset to get a future first round pick. And people were thinking, you know, Roethlisberger's hurt, and you're not showing any signs of doing anything. Why would you give up your first round pick for this guy? Even though he's a great player, everyone knows that.
How old is he?
He's, you know, second year, third year.
And he was the number one pick?
He was not the number one overall pick, but he was a first round pick. Yeah.
Oh.
He was
so
like
people thought that Pittsburgh might actually have the number one overall pick.
Right. They were like, you know, the Dolphins drafted this Fitzpatrick guy seventh or eighth or something like that in 2017 or 2018. And Pittsburgh traded a first-round pick. Well, people were like, you guys might go 3-13. That first-round pick might be like a top-five pick. Like, what are you doing? It's not like, you know, it's going to be the 15th or worst pick. Well, that guy completely turned their team around. He's had like five or six interceptions, a couple of touchdowns. He's just making plays all over the field and just completely turned that defense around, which has been carrying them. And so now they're 7-5. That first round pick is going to be in the bottom half, and it looks like a steal now. And he's
meanwhile the Bears pick might be in the top half.
Well, the Bears are 6-6. It's not like the Bears are looking any worse than the Steelers.
Except they could be
the Bears just have a 10 times tougher schedule.
Bears could easily be 6-10 with the four teams they got to play.
Absolutely, they could, and the Steelers could be 7-9.
So where does that pick put you? Like number 8 or 9?
6-10. I would say, well, there's 32 teams.
Oh, so it's probably more like
eight,
10 or 12.
We'll call 8 and 8 16th.
Yeah, so it's got to be like 10 or 12.
Yeah, maybe. It's probably, yeah, maybe 12th. Which, you know, we'll see. The Bears could easily go be 6 and 10, though. No doubt. But to say the Steelers are way better than the Bears, I would say they're not. I would say they're the same. And I would say the Bears might even be better. But the Bears have the number one difficult schedule in the NFL this year, and it's showing.
Yeah, so, yeah, for sure. Well, you know, I was talking to my nephew, which is always interesting, on Thanksgiving. He's like the Matty Weber with no research kind of guy. He's got his opinions, you know, about how all things have changed in sports. And whatever because it's all stats and slots. And I go, no, it's still like people. What do you mean? A number 5 pick is worth this? I go, no, Tim. There are years where the top 4 people are essentially grayed out as Hall of Famers, and the next 10 are all good players, but just pick your position. So it could end any spot. It's who the person is. Oh, no, just the 5th pick's always worth this. And always is a long time. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't, depending on the people. What did the Bears grab? Was it Curtis Enos, where the first 3 guys were all-world, and then the next...
Well, when he's saying worth something, what does he mean?
Well, he's saying about the pick... And he's right, because of the money in the slot, that if you have a number 5 pick, generally...
It's worth a certain amount of money.
Yeah, but generally, if you trade it, it's worth a lower number 1 pick and say, a number 3 pick. But it depends on the person.
Well, it depends on who's doing the picking.
Well, and...
The people... I mean, yeah, and you're right, too. Some drafts, obviously, are deeper than other drafts. I mean, that's common sense.
But when you say deep, I'm saying is, in some drafts, the number 5 guy is way different than the 10 guy. And some, they could be very deep. They could just all be all equal. I'm saying, but if you
well, when I say deep, I mean it's the number of great players. Some drafts have one great player, and that's it. Some drafts have 15 great players.
Well, you could have no great players and 15 guys that are starters day one at 15 different positions. I mean,
they're all going to start at some point. So a starter almost doesn't matter.
I'm talking about a starter on day one. A lot of number one picks aren't.
Well, they this day and age, they'll get their shot.
Yeah.
No, they'll get their chance to start. No matter what.
Well, because you're supposed to be.
Because they're paid a certain amount of money, and the cap is a certain level, and you have to give them a shot because The problem is some teams pick better than other teams, and some drafts are deeper than other drafts.
Well, also, it depends on team style. I mean, there's a million variables here, I think, as we're both talking about. And what the Steelers did, I think what they did is they took, like, their crappiest spot, some guy playing safety that looks like me, and they replaced him with essentially an all-pro. So the difference in that spot and the difference in your team because you did that is pretty dramatic.
Right.
Right. I mean, on our team, if we replace, Jeremy with some other terrific left fielder, we're just replacing somebody. But if we replace me with somebody who can run and hit, well, that's a whole different story, right? I mean, so the idea, I mean, some of the trick is if you can identify the worst position on your team and put a starting tackle where you got some bag of balls, yeah. But if you have two really good starting tackles and you see somebody you just want because he's above the fray, and you're in that position, which most teams aren't, to do the quote best athlete available, he may not start. Right? I mean, it depends on the position you're in. Some teams just get the best guy they can and they figure everything was going to fall out or he gets hurt. Right? Other guys don't know. We got no guards. We need a guard. Right? It depends.
Yeah.
So, I don't think you want to be in a position where you have to draft a position. Those guys usually lose, I think.
No, I think so too. You just want to stockpile the best players you can get. I mean, the Bears, as far as their drafting in the Adam Pace era, it's been pretty rocky. I would say he's definitely had some good picks, value-wise, where he's gotten some guys that, and he's made some trades that have made a difference, and acquired some guys. I think the acquisitions of Allen Robinson, Akeem Hicks, the trade for Khalil Mack, all difference-making guys, big-time guys. Drafting Roquan Smith appears to be a good pick. Eddie Jackson appears to be a good pick. Re-signing Kyle Fuller seems to be the right decision. Those are the positives, but there's been a ton of negatives. I mean, Trubisky, the jury's still out, but most people are down on him.
The worst, you figure you didn't have to trade up to get him.
Right. Adam Shaheen, the second round tight end, is a complete bust.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a second round pick that you might as well light on fire. That guy will probably never see the field again. And there's been many of those types of picks as well. So, Tariq Cohen, I mean, solid pick, I would say, for a mid round guy, but is he great? No. I think it's really hard to do it. And I think, you're basically judged with your first round picks and the Bears first round picks. Leonard Floyd, I mean, good, not great. So I guess, I don't know. We'll see.
I'm of the school. And clearly, if you can get a spectacular person, I mean, everybody knew Lawrence Taylor was good. Everybody knew, Orlando Pace. There are people that you can't fool anybody at, right? I mean, everybody knew Eric Dickerson was good. I mean, these are not, but it seems like if you go through just the amount of people, and the Bears, I don't think they like the draft guys. They must think they paid too much money for them or something. But I went through when you guys were arguing with me a few years ago, I went through the Bears versus the Packers, and over like a 7-year period, the Packers had like, 22 guys still in football, and like 11 of them were still on the Packers playing, doing something. And the Bears only had like, out of all their picks, there were like 7 or 8 guys left in football, and maybe 3 of them were on the Bears. Man, I don't see how you compete when you screw up that bad. But yeah, I mean, just in general, this guy's been a little better pace, but you look at the Cowboys back in the day, in the day, where they drafted low every year, so they would have a tryout camp, and every year or two, they'd get a starter or a guy at least was on the team. They had to do something. You look at the Patriots, out of all the things they do, I read this big, huge article one day with some guy who was talking about, if you took the fourth pick on, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh, and all the trades they made in that era, in that section for the last, like, 15 years, they'd bundle a number 5 and 6 pick and send it to somebody and get the 4 pick. And the 4 pick is a, after 3 years as a starter and a 5 and 6 pick, the other guy's got her out of football. Or the other way. They give up a 4 pick where they didn't really see anybody in a 4 round for a 5 and a 6, and the 5 guys doing special teams and the 6 guys on the practice squad or something. They're at least sort of in the game. They make sure that the bottom 10, 12 people in their roster is as strong as it possibly can. I don't know if the Bears pay any attention. I mean, they pay some attention to it, but they don't concentrate as much like those guys do. Maybe because they think they're, and everybody who manages to hang in there year after year after year has some edge, whether it's mental, whether it's judging your own talent. I mean, look at the people that Belichick loses, both as players and coaches. Everybody thinks they're great. They go somewhere else, they suck, right?
Right. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, on a personal level, he looks like the world's grumpiest man. I don't know if he is or not, but I mean,
he certainly seems that way.
Yeah, but everybody says, you know, you see that in baseball. You're on a good team. You got good people hitting before you and behind you. Everybody thinks you're a star. Maybe you are. Maybe you aren't. All of a sudden, you go on a crummy team and you're out there on an island. You know, why isn't he hitting 300? Well, he doesn't have this guy in front of him. Doesn't have this guy behind him. Yeah, but those are just stats. No, they're not. They're people, right? I mean, there's a lot more to this than meets the eye. Some people seem to get it, and some people don't. I mean,
that's right.
What happened to the Bears' right tackle? They got some new guys starting there.
I didn't see. Are you talking?
Massey's on the right side, right?
I think so. Yeah, Leno's on the left side.
Yeah, Leno was there, but the guard's new on the right side because Kyle Long's not playing. And the tackle is some big, huge guy.
Well, they switched their guard and center. So right, Whitehair's back at center, which is he's much better at center, although he can't snap, which
he's
is
getting
a problem.
Better.
But he's better in the Detroit game, that's for sure, on Thursday. And then they moved the rookie or the second year guy out of Iowa back to guard, where he played most of last year, even though they drafted him to be a center. Then he seems to be better at guard.
I'm not worried about those two guys too much. They seem okay.
Yeah, the Leno's just penalized all the time. I mean, he holds all the time. He false starts all the time on the left side. I didn't see him get replaced.
No, the other guy did.
So Massey got replaced?
Yeah, some big, huge guy, 73.
I mean, at guard or at tackle?
Tackle.
The
right guard is the guy who was the 69 or 68. The black guy was the... He was a defensive lineman. They made him an offense. He's doing pretty good. I mean, he's doing better every game. Big guy. I mean, he looks like he's pretty quick, too. So I don't think he's hurting him. He's not Kyle Long, but I don't think he's hurting him. But then a tackle is somebody new. But the guy's huge. It's like Keith Van Horn, for God's sake. So I don't know what happened to him. If Massey got beat out or whether he's hurt or something.
I don't know.
But, the Bears' running game is just terrible. And it's just
right tackle Cornelius Lucas.
Yeah.
Played for the injured Massey.
Okay.
Who's out? The Bears, but as far as I'm concerned, the Bears' offensive line had one of their best games of the season on Thursday, if not their best game.
Yeah.
It was against the Lions, but still, they were pass protecting, which allowed Trubisky to have his best game of the season because he wasn't under pressure on his back the whole time, and Montgomery had some nice runs, and they ran the ball enough. I thought it was one of their best games, and I don't know anything about this Cornelius Lucas guy, but...
Well, he didn't look like he was horrible.
No, he looked solid.
What is the story with these uniforms? The Detroit looked like they're playing their pajamas.
The all-silvers?
But they looked like kind of sweatpants all around your leg, all the ankles. It was weird.
They had socks. But they're
whatever it looked like.
Their pants were the same as they always were. They always wore silver. But the difference was they wore silver jerseys too. So they were an all silver from head to toe, which looked kind of weird.
What is the story with the Thursday games where you wear the same color up and down, and sometimes you look like Beak Bird?
Well, they were calling it the color rush, and they were requiring it a couple years ago for every team on Thursday to wear all the same color. I don't know
why. That's what Detroit did, I think.
And some teams, and then they stopped requiring it, so now some teams went back to normal. But some teams like it, and they'll wear it every once in a while for special games.
Well, it gives you another jersey to sell.
Right. So Detroit, typically always wears the blue jersey at home and the white jersey on the road. Well, on Thursday, they wore all silver. So they had the silver helmets, silver jersey, silver pants, silver socks, and silver shoes. And that was the look.
Hey, I want to pick your brain a little bit on I won't say middle-aged, but what are you now? You would be like somewhere between young and middle-aged?
I guess.
That's kind of a rough spot to be.
Never thought about it. 36 is not bad.
No, it's... I think 36 to 40, especially if you've never been injured, could be your best time because you're just as good at sports as you always were. You're a lot smarter than you ever were.
Well,
it's not a bad spot.
I wouldn't say just as good, but you can still sort of compete.
Your knowledge of the game is still...
But your knowledge base and your pocketbook is usually better than it was in its 20s. And those are two nice things.
But, I mean, your knowledge of the game is still gaining faster than you're losing physically. Now, another few years, that's not going to happen.
Yeah. Well, I definitely think that's true for softball. For basketball, man, playing against the 25-year-old kid is... You can beat them up a little bit with knowledge and with being physical. But man, they don't get tired. They can jump.
Well, you're only playing one night a week, too.
That's true. And you gotta play more than I'm playing right now.
Yeah, you gotta,
we used to play three nights a week, and, as recently as 2 years ago, we were playing three nights a week. And now, one night a week, that's not quite enough.
Even when I was playing three nights a week, I had to run a couple of days, because I always wanted to be in way better shape than the guy I was playing.
Yeah.
So even if he beat me in the first half, I usually beat him in the second half.
Yeah.
But, what do you make of this thing with the, it really is an issue. I mean, I don't know how much you guys have been watching it, but, and I'm not going crazy, but some of the listeners have been writing in on, this phenomenon with, whether or not we should criticize the, China over the Hong Kong thing. And it's almost like people are not afraid to criticize our government, but they're afraid to criticize theirs. I'm like, where's that coming from? So today, it was China to sanction U.S. nonprofits, whatever that means, halt Navy visits over support for Hong Kong protesters. At first it was the NBA, then it was like some other people, and now, you know, the companies don't want, you can have somebody come out and say you don't like Trump or you don't like Pelosi, and everybody's okay with that. But if you say if you're a company and you go, hey, these protesters have a point, then the shareholders are right. You can't say that. Are we that close to having a government here we can't insult? I mean,
good question.
Are we going down this road? It seems like we're going, the thought of somebody in this country being afraid to criticize a foreign government, I never thought we'd be anywhere near there. Do you?
No, but I will say it was very refreshing. Thanksgiving weekend, going down to Jill's family and then going to my extended family. And politics was not brought up one time in the entire 4 days. And, God, was it great.
Must have felt like a rest.
It's almost like people are just like, you know what? It's not even worth it to even bring it up. And that's how it used to be, which I've said this before. People used to not talk about this stuff, as openly as they do now. And, it was just a better time. You didn't even know who leaned one way or the other, and you didn't care. You liked the person for who they were. And that was it. And, whether it was a friend or a family member or whatever, I mean, you just didn't know. Your teachers, you didn't know. And now it's like the first thing people talk about. It's like people wear it on their chest, and it's kind of weird.
It's kind of weird.
And, man, it was great. No one talked about it. No one cared. And still, you didn't feel like anything was missing. In fact, it was better.
Well, it's hard. Let's put it this way. To ignore the quote politics, certainly for a holiday weekend, is probably a pretty good idea. But to ignore the, quote, issues almost ever, I don't know, is such a good idea, because we don't have that much time, and years keep going by, and they never get fixed, and they get worse for people.
Well, I agree with that. And, you know, you got to vote. You got to get out there and vote, absolutely. But man, in your day-to-day personal interactions at work and with family and with friends, I mean, just who cares?
Well, I mean, It's one thing to not care about not want to fight about the impeachment. It's quite another to not care when you walk down the block and see all the homeless people are 30 years younger than they were 20 years ago and things like that, and saying, what the hell? Or see people getting thrown out of their house because of taxes keep going up and up and up. I mean, those are issues that affect people.
Our unemployment rate's at an all-time low, Chief.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Don't you read that?
These guys aren't looking for a job. That's so they don't count. Right? That's what we're telling, that's what we're saying.
Of course.
But so there's a fine line there. And because obviously you government is the spot that we're trying to have help out there. Now maybe we should strip them down and we say you guys don't do that anymore, charities will do it or something. But you gotta get the money out of them because they're still taking it like they're doing something or not. So, I mean, anyway, S&P futures up 475, Dow futures up 48. We come back, we'll have traffic, weather, sports, and Mr. John Flanagan.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, The Control Freak's Guide to Life, Money, and Probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. Not tomorrow. It's Matt Weber on the board. Rips are Jan Flanagan with us. S&P futures up 475. They were up 8 last night. We came in, they were up 4, so they're hacking around to the upside here. NASDAQ futures up 875. Dow down up 41. Individual stocks are down. Hey, Apple's up again, up 78 cents. I'm stunned. Goldman Sachs up 218. This is the free market. Nothing, any major consequences. BIIB's down 486. It's another, other than that, everything's kind of mostly to the upside, but small. Over in Europe, we've got the, we've got the machine not working, is what we've got. Eddie, how about doing traffic, weather, sports? I'll get this rolling here if you can.
I can do that. 35 minutes.
Wait, I got it.
I'll wait.
Next down four, call that flat. Puts you down 50 cents, call that flat. Kick around down 14 points. We gotta wait for that. Please. China suspended U.S. military visits to Hong Kong, and Trump has plunked the tariffs back on steel from Argentina and Brazil. And I'm thinking since we've done this, our steel company stock has gone straight down. So I'm not sure exactly what we're doing with this, but we're doing something, man. You say Nikkei up 235. These guys were down last week. It's up a full percent. Shanghai up 3. That's 0.1%. Hang Seng, which is down a bunch on Friday, as you recall, if you listen on Friday, up 98.4%. So they're making some of that back. We've got the go ahead, do Trevi Weather Sports, and I'll get the other stuff here. Not much left.
Sure, 36 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. Off to a pretty good start here as folks head back after the long Thanksgiving weekend. The major issue in the area is on the Bishop Ford. The Bishop Ford outbound between Sibley Boulevard and 159th is closed due to an overturned tanker truck that happened earlier this morning. Traffic is being forced off at Sibley. So expect all kinds of issues as they work to get that cleaned up on the outbound at Bishop Ford. Vehicles are slowing down on the inbound side as well at 159th Street. So solid traffic on the Bishop Ford in both directions due to this overturned tanker truck that happened earlier this morning. It's affecting the Dan Ryan as traffic builds there and on I-57 as well. No issues on the Stevenson. Traffic building on the Eisenhower. But it doesn't look like we have a crash, except we do have some ramp restrictions on the inbound side right at the Tri-State. There was an accident that partially blocked the North Avenue exit ramp to the Tri-State Tollway from the Eisenhower on the inbound side, so keep that in mind. Edens and Kennedy looking okay. Off the expressways, nothing to report. Nice and quiet so far on a Monday morning. Weather today, partly cloudy skies, a high of 36. Right now it's mostly cloudy and 31 with wind chills in the upper teens. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy skies with a high of 70 today. Right now it's mostly clear and 43. In sports, the Arizona Cardinals were blown out at home yesterday afternoon against the Rams, 34-7. The Bears, of course, had already played on Thanksgiving. They'll return to action this Thursday again for Thursday Night Football as they'll host the Dallas Cowboys. So the Bears are getting ready for that. Akeem Hicks apparently returned to practice as he makes his way back into the lineup here in a couple of weeks. NBA basketball, Bulls are off. They'll wrap up their road trip at the Kings tonight, 9 p.m. Chicago time tip-off. Suns are off as well. They're at the Hornets tonight. That's a 5 p.m. Arizona time tip from Charlotte. Blackhawks welcome the first-place Blues into town tonight, 7:30 p.m. puck drop at the United Center. And lastly, Sunday Night Football, it was the Texans upsetting the Patriots 28-22 to improve to 8-4. And college hoops, Arizona over Wake Forest, 73-66. Chief.
There is news in these 10-year yields. Matter of fact, pretty big news. U.S. 10 years up to 1.84, highest we've seen in a while. The Bund is only minus 29. We haven't seen it in the twos numbers in a while, but get a load of this. Japan, minus 0.04. One more day like this, and they're positive. What do you think of that, John? Positive.
Morning, Tom.
How are you?
I'm good. You?
I'm doing all right. Whenever I hear that term, when somebody goes positive, there was a guy at Pullman named Bob Johnson. What a character, Swedish dude, and he'd been there like forever. And the first day he worked at Pullman, he swore he would never go back. And yet, 40 years later, he was like still working there. They asked him to work overtime his first day, and forgot to mention the fact that the gates that people came in on, if he worked overtime, were now locked, and he had to go out like another way. Took him like an hour to find his way out of the place, and he was like a mile from his car. This is the crappiest place. Anyway, so years later, he's a program manager on the Amtrak Superliner cars, and they're taking all these change orders, and without having any clues how much the changes were going to impact the production, right? Because you didn't do that in those days. I mean, they just, you know, the changes were made on the floor, and the guys gave you a handshake deal on how much they thought it was going to cost, but when you're making 284 cars of that magnitude, they had no concept of how much it was going to cost them, you know, to actually be a year late or something. So Bob is ranting and raving in all these meetings. Finally, they ban him from the meetings. They go, Bob, you can't go to the meetings. You can't go to the meetings until you're more positive. So after about a month, they needed him back there, right, because he had a lot of knowledge. So they bring him back, and he sits there, and he doesn't say a word. Sits there, yes, yes. And the guy goes, Bob, wasn't that better now that you're more positive? Oh, I'm positive. He goes, what do you mean by that? I'm positive you're all bleeped up. And sure enough, the contract was a complete fiasco from point A to point B. But anywho, how are you?
Have a team player you want. You know?
Just a team player. But I mean, you could be a team player on the Titanic too. You know what I mean? there's a fine line between being a pain in the ass and watching people do stuff you know is wrong. I mean, that's a part of any organization.
Yes.
And certainly like a part of government. And when you add that, you know, that moral hazard part on top of it, I was talking to Maddie about, you know, when people argue about politics, when one thing I try and do on the show is point out when people seemingly are at each other's throats about the politics of it, the similarities in why they don't like the people they don't like. They just happen to like different people, but sometimes for the same reasons. And you know, how it's somewhat important, I think, if we're ever going to make any steps forward, to kind of say, okay, well, you know, I think you're an ass basically because you think this about, you know, tax strategy, and you think I'm an ass because of this. But by the way, our actual strategies we could probably fix, and there's some similarities in where we want to get to from here. And why don't we just focus on those for a while instead of the fact that I don't like you and you don't like me, because that type of thing. And you know, it's hard for a lot of people to do because they've locked themselves into this. The people on the other side are so bad at that that's become the issue. The other
right.
side has become the issue, which is really not where you want to be.
I was struck by what you and Maddie were saying just a couple minutes ago. And Maddie was talking about, you know, how nice it was over the holiday for people not to be, you know, talking politics right out of the gate. And it used to be that way, that people kind of respected your secret ballot. You know, they didn't ask you to justify your political beliefs at every turn. And things were better then. And I see a couple, you know, differences today where not only are people anxious to find out what you believe and why, ask you, you know, point blank why you believe that, but it also has discouraged people from being honest about their beliefs. And that's why polls are so distrusted now, because people are unwilling to kind of open up when they're asked about their beliefs, because they know it doesn't get them anywhere. And if they're talking to the wrong person, it can destroy them. So, the quality of that kind of, you know, respect for people's beliefs has kind of gone out the window. And as a result, you get, you know, not very reliable data about who's really believing what, because nobody is comfortable talking to strangers about this stuff. So,
well, it's also part of for some reason it says something. I mean, I guess unfortunately or fortunately, depending on where you put it, I end up talking to a lot of older white males. and I've had a few that I just were aghast, you know, with this, well, you know, I'm conservative. Okay, that's fine. No, seriously, I'm conservative. Like, how about you? I'm like, is there some secret handshake here I should be knowing about? Or what are we doing? you know where else I ran into that? Get a load of this. Talk about a weird story. Audrey and I go down to my gang in Columbus, my Italian side of the family. They're big Ohio State supporters, right? And one guy, you know, one of the guys, not one of the family, but somebody married into the right family, gave like $35 million to Ohio State when $35 million was a lot of money. So they, of course, got a big, big, huge bus parking number one spot, and they've got a skybox and a whole bit. So, of course, they said, you can't go to the game when I don't have something Ohio State on. So I went in and bought the gray hat. You know, I didn't buy the red hat, but it's you know, it's got the Ohio State thing on the front. So I'm walking down the street in Michigan City, and this old cadre comes by, and he goes, O-H. And I look at him, and I go, huh? O-H. Evidently, you're supposed to say I-O. It is the double secret handshake for Ohio State people.
Yeah.
And the guy goes, you're supposed to say I-O. And I go, oh, okay. I'm like, I had no idea. I've had this, you know, the conservative guy, especially, like, you know, I'm conservative. Well, you know, okay, what does that mean exactly? I mean, it's like,
right.
but I never remember. I think that back in 1960, surely in the Irish area I was in, I mean, it was a Kennedy stronghold, but I never there were a few people that were Nixon supporters, and it wasn't like you hated Kennedy or you hated Nixon or anything. It was just, there were obviously differences between the Democrat and Republican agendas. They even like had platforms in those days that was a more of a party platform than a person platform. But I admit there wasn't. And Trump has, to a large extent, in my mind, now some of it I think is actually probably positive, but he really has sort of let us know what kind of a country we still have. It's not all that homogenous. It's something. And people, if you give them a chance, will say the weirdest things, and maybe they've been feeling it all along or whatever. I don't know, but it's kind of opened both sides up to. I don't know what they really feel or whatever, but I don't know if all of it's all that positive. My first freshman year of high school, Brother Copper said, sometimes it's better to keep your mouth shut and be thought a fool than open it and remove all doubt.
I remember in third grade, I had a nun for some of my classes in the South Side, but I had a lay teacher for most of it. That was my homeroom. And she let it slip on election day 1960 that she had just voted for the next president, Richard Nixon. And everybody in the class just looked at her as if she had just, landed off a flying saucer.
Oh, yeah.
I said, this isn't very smart to do. I mean, it really is none of my business. But I have to say, after that, I never really believed anything she told me in a geography class or anything else. I said, if you voted for Nixon, why should I trust anything you're telling me? And I thought that was kind of the wrong response, too. But it kind of made me think you're better off not tipping your head too much and expecting people to respond in a way that suits your pleasure. And you kind of open yourself up to things that, if you're not careful, you've just destroyed your credibility or you made yourself look insane or something else. So even then, I thought there's kind of a delicate balance to be struck here.
Well, I think if you have a lot of it, and it's hard for me sometimes to split off one from the other with the current president, and that there is a style of speaking to people and dealing with people. I mean, there's kind of the New York method where you can be very abusive in business, and there's a lot of lawyers that are like this, even here. I mean, you can be very abusive to people, and then everybody's supposed to forget it. The second after the trial's done or something. The fact that you called him a old lady killer or something, during the testimony. Well, where I grew up and pretty close to where you grew up, I don't ever forget that. The idea that, Trump's style, and a lot of it is just the style, and it's a New York side of things. You can berate people up and down during the course of a deal, and when 2 months later you're supposed to all forget it. Well, that's not anything the South Side of Chicago ever dreams of.
Right.
I mean, just the way you deal with people and you deal with countries as if they're your worst enemy, and then all of a sudden they're your buddy the next day, and you're like, wait a minute. And I guarantee you that, I'm not a psychologist at all, let alone I guarantee you that the Asian mind cannot figure what this guy's talking about. One day we're friends, the next day we're doing bad stuff to each other. I mean, or maybe they do get it, and I don't get them. To me, this whole method is just not me. Which isn't to say that it might not be. It might be actually with certain people. It could be very effective. I don't know, but it's just to me. You just leave carnage in your wake everywhere. I'd like the idea that if I ever was in a group that bought a building, that the people I bought the place from felt that I negotiated hard but fairly. And at the end of the day, we came to the right price. Not that every single one I had to insult during the entire process, but that's a style. It's not just not mine. I don't think it's yours either.
And that's something that I think even people who like Trump or voted for him have trouble kind of understanding or respecting is this kind of brash, talking off the top of your head sort of style that. In another climate would be exactly what you don't want, and he's kind of rewritten the rules for people that they accept that, maybe they even want it in a politician or in a president. And before, I can't imagine that style would have appealed to very many people outside of New York City, and that's one of the ironies about his society or the way it moves up or down is how people accept it at one level and at another level would never tolerate it in personal relations or in a local politician or something closer to home. So it is curious.
Well, it is real curious. And the last couple of people I had somewhat of a discussion with that are, they just happen to be Trump supporters. It could be anybody. I mean, really, it could have been, because I always try and turn the conversation, if I can, into a like story that has nothing to do with them. I mean, when I was having a discussion with then-Mayor Daley, and I was really pissed off about him selling the Skyway in Millennium Park, well, when we were at the club, the only two of us there talking about it, I mean, I think I was smart enough to not say, well, God, whoever sold Millennium Park's an idiot. that's not a conversation you want to have with anybody. So, fortunately, they just sold the Indiana Toll Road. And I had mentioned to him that I really thought the price was way off because, how could you even put the thing back together today? I calculated the price they sold it for was like replacement value for like 2 miles. But he was okay with it because it wasn't his. You know, we were actually able to have the discussion. And when you talk to people about Trump, I mean, I said, I know you're a Republican, I know you're conservative. I said, but as a person, I said, I used to be Democratic. I couldn't have voted for Hillary for dog catcher for 30 years. I mean, I thought she was crooked. I didn't like Whitewater. I didn't like stuff going to her account that wasn't hers. I said, and it's not up to me to tell you where your line in the sand is. I said, but no matter who you are, I said, I've known you your whole life. You're a moral person. You have to have a line in the sand about everybody, no matter how good they are for your pocketbook or whoever. I mean, you could put your best friend, the guy you think is going to take the company that you founded into the promised land, and the stock is doubled that year, and you find out the guy's cheating on his expense account and grabbing some girls behind it, he's just got to go. Even if it's your friend and you support every one of his policy, there's only a certain distance you can go with somebody down the moral rat hole or the behavioral rat hole, even if you like the policies. Now, it's not up to me. I said, I'm going to say Trump's already over my line, but then again, so is Hillary. And to this day, I probably would still vote for Trump rather than her, but that would be a tough call. But unfortunately, I voted for the Libertarian, which was maybe a cop-out, I don't know. But the point is, you need to have a spot. How far are you willing to go down the rat hole with him or anybody, just if the policies are close, or you say, I just can't go down that low? Now, maybe it's not him, maybe it's the next guy, maybe it's the next lady. I don't know, but there needs to be a spot where you say, I just can't go any further, I think.
Absolutely. You need some kind of, you have to have some sort of a system in your head that you're using to register, I can swallow this, I can swallow that, I can't swallow this.
Yeah.
But up to this point, I'm okay with this, and although it wouldn't be my first choice, and I wish, Trump didn't tweet as much or as freely as he does, I'll accept that if, looking at what the opposition is, I know I can't go there, although those other parties aren't tweeting anything like what he's saying, but I like people who have that kind of system in their heads where they know when the wrong button has just been pushed, and that is either you can't recover that, or you're going to have to do a pretty good job convincing me that I'm not going to be out of my mind to vote for you. So I like that kind of passion and self awareness, and what I'm worried about is I see a lot of people sort of checking out of the system and not thinking that this has anything to do with them anymore, that it confirms their worst fears about politics, or that the process looks even dirtier than they always assumed it was, and they don't want to be a part of it, and that's really dangerous. And I don't want going over to that side.
Because I think we're going there.
Then you get much worse than Trump. Eventually.
Well, I mean, the amount of money that's flying around, the fact that it's been somewhat obvious to me, John, in the last 10 years, 15 years, and I saw what happened to my industry, the trading floor industry. I mean, not the managed money industry. I mean, we still do that fine, but the trading floor industry is like, why did all these people get put out of business for whatever reason? For the people who had their nerves firmly up the ass of the regulators, and all of a sudden they It's illegal for anybody to trade. I mean, okay, except for these few guys. Well, that's cool. I mean, right? It's illegal for anybody to give anybody electricity from except Commonwealth Edison for like 150 years. Well, that's cool. I mean, you see this happening more and more and more, and people, I think a lot of, if it's not your business, and it's not, unfortunately, what I have to watch all day, you're pissed off, but you don't know why or at who.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of hard, and you'll end up, I mean, I get stuff from guys all day long. It's, you know, there's stuff digging out of the, where Trump's a hero because he unearthed the third something-something, the deep state in Ukraine. I'm like, what are you people talking about? I'm sure there's some story somewhere, but to me the story is wherever we send money, a lot of losers seem to follow and get a big chunk of that money. I mean, that to me is the story. Now, how do we stop that? Yeah. Well, I don't know. Are we going to? Are we going to try? What are we going to do? I mean, are we just going to let the same people that have been doing it for 25, 30, 50, 100 years do it? I mean, I don't know. These are issues because we're broke. As a country, we're not broke because we have an amazing amount of wealth, but clearly we have a problem where we got to sort of stop the stealing because the people that are paying don't look to me like they can pay much more. Because they're not, there's only so much blithering idiots, and I use that term collectively, not individually, on national TV that can tell me how fantastic the consumer is and how great everybody's doing when the median wage is up 10% in 20 years. I mean, the numbers just, I mean, you can say that all you want, but, you know.
It's a fantasy still, you know.
It's a fantasy still. That's right. I mean, I don't know where this is. But, I mean, at some point, I mean, interesting thing happened. And I'll tell the story because there's nothing untoward about it. The other night, I'm walking out and it was late and, you know, and I wasn't trash or anything like that. So it's pouring rain, right? So I had been out during the day, so I had to park my car in a different lot. It just so happened, you know, I got the big Suburban. I walk up to the thing, and I'm on the driver's side, and it's pouring. And I don't really check the other side. You know, why would you? So it's not like there was a body over there or anything. But so I pull out in the rain, and I go half a block, and all of a sudden this kind of homeless guy goes, hey, wait a minute. He goes, like, don't run over me. Well, okay. He's got something under your front end, and I'm thinking, what could that be? Because, you know, mine truck's a little higher. It's a 2500 series. So he pulls one of these orange cones out of there. I mean, it hadn't. Now, I don't know whether the guy in the parking lot, when he moved it, like kind of ran over it and was already in there or whatever. So he pulls the thing out. And I go, thanks, man. Oh, no problem. And he heads off into the driving rain without an umbrella. So I didn't have a chance to give the guy any dough. So sure enough, two nights later, I'm walking down. It's nowhere near as late. I see the guy. Hey, wait a minute. Aren't you the guy who helped me out the other night? Yeah, we ended up having this long conversation. And I said, well, you know, where do you guys... Now, the dude's got to be 30-ish, 35, you know, maybe 40. He's not old. And the phenomenon down here, Jen, I don't know if you've seen much of it lately, homeless people now are not all in their, like, 70s like they used to be. They're all young. They're a lot of them.
Oh, yeah.
It's a whole different... So I end up having, like, a conversation with him. I said, okay, what do you... what's the deal? He goes, well, you try and do what you can. I said, well... When was your last job? He goes, wasn't that long ago. I worked for this outfit that put, you know, a pallet manufacturer, and they just all out of the blue went out of business. Nobody got laid off. I can't find anything else. I mean, and he's, I mean, by talking to him, he's capable of working, but he's, you know, he's, I don't know if he's going to run a system for you, but he's, you know. And I says, where do you sleep? And he says, well, if you make $19, you can go over to this, whatever, this place where you get a room for $19. He says, if you don't, we sleep under the, you know, the expressway, essentially under the health club. And how bad is that? He goes, we got stuff. It's not so bad. And there's a group of us. You know, it could be worse. And I'm thinking, how could it be worse? So then all of a sudden I'm thinking on the way home, like, wait a minute. How many words do people speak daily about helping the homeless? And how much money do we spend in these various programs or say we're going to spend or pass to spend? And we can't come up with $19 a night. I mean, or half of it. So if the guy makes half of it, he can have a bed instead of underneath the bed. I mean, we're talking, it's like, you know, Tammy Duckworth. I don't know if she did a good job, bad job. All I know is that everybody in the world, you can't go to a sporting event, you can't do anything without seeing them trot out some vet. And we're all supporting our vets. We're supporting this. Are we doing this just for marketing? We're putting flags out at the football games that, by the way, the government pays for. Yeah, my stepfather got into Manteno. It was a long wait. And we get down there, and it's people down there are spectacular, which I've said a million times on the air. I walk in, John, the place is half full. And I go, why is there an eight-month wait if the place is half full? Well, because we only have a staff for, you know, it's like one staff person for every three, four people. I don't know. What would you say it is for a care home? It's got to be for one person for probably every three or four people, right? Maybe five? And we don't, unless we get more staff, we can't. So let me get this straight. There's an eight-month waiting list. Half the guys are dying before they even get here. We got 48 million idiots running around, running for office, saying how much they're going to support the vets. And everybody else is dragging them out in front of football games, and yet the place is half full, and these guys are living God knows where. Well, yeah. I mean, how much money would it take to hire another 10 people in Kankakee County? I mean, what are we paying these people? 25 grand a year, maybe? 30? And at most? And you know, the amount of volunteers is unbelievable, and yet we can't hire. I mean, it's 250 grand. Man, we piss that away in a nanosecond. And other stupid stuff.
Sure do.
I mean, I don't. It's just an odd deal. I think we can't seem to get where we don't know where we're going. S&P futures up 450. Nasdaq futures up 8. Be right back.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now.
Something happened.
Hello, everybody. Starts Jenny. Something about Mr. Matt Weber. Mr. Jan playing on the phone as well. Let's see if he was up 4.25. NASDAQ futures up 7.75. Individual stocks moving around. We got Boeing up a buck. We've got Nike up 70 cents. We've got Apple up 76 cents. So just kind of cruising a little bit up here like we have been, you know, for kind of a while. And I think, it, to me, it's more of a, you know, I'm going to say less all kinds of buyers than it is it's just lack of sellers. And, you know, I think it's, I mean, everybody thinks we're just going to keep cruising, and so far, for a long time, they've been right. So, John, what somehow it's all going to combine one of these days. Is the slowing economy a little bit. We've got the market continuing to move up. We've got the Fed, which some of these, the long-term rates, that's a big move today. It'll be interesting this week if Japan goes positive. Will that be the first time in, God, how long?
I mean, oh, my gosh. 20? I mean, it goes way back.
Yeah. I mean, it's at some point you would think that, it's kind of a bad, I mean, you're not, you know, Mr. Numbers or anything, but it's a, you wonder what the, where do I put it? It's hard for me to think of my business, you know, where the idea being is when free commissions and so forth. I mean, I'm not just ragging about commissions being free at a lot of places, but the explanation of why they are free, in the sense that there's kickback of you know, commissions and so forth, that's how people are making their money. And you sit there and go, okay, how does that happen? You know, nobody seems to have I'll say the explanation. And when you look at you know, kind of what's going on, like money wise, and you see the pouring stuff in. I mean, when do we expect people who it's not their job, for lack of a better term, to kind of wake up and smell the coffee that this is a little bit, that this is artificial, and that you can't really grow an investment strategy. And if your parents were still with us, or you now that you're, you know, retired and wealthy, and if you drop me $10 million and I say, oh, John, because you're a friend of mine, I'll charge you 0.2% a year instead of 1%, which most people charge, which we don't, by the way, but 0.2% a year, and first thing I do is put it in a 10-year bond that pays you negatively. So at the end of 10 years, you're going to get money back, less money back than you said. You're going to say, gee, did I really need you for that one? I mean, right? I think you would say, do I really need you for that one? And, you know, and I guess the answer would be you didn't, did you?
Well, and I think this kind of lack of, you know, people just don't have a grip, or if they do, they can't look in the mirror because it's too frightening to think about, but they don't really have a sense of just how hollow all this is. And how risky everything, you know, it's kind of a quick step away from disaster, and it's better for people not to know that or to think about it too much. And what you were saying with you know, Maddie earlier about the fear of criticizing China, for example, or Hong Kong, you know, human rights abuses there, is part of this too. That there's a sense that's you know, as much of an enemy as they are at so many levels, we have to dance to their tune in some areas because they're keeping us afloat. And, of course, vice versa, too, probably even more so. But it extends into the, you know, politics at a global level that people are not really quite fully aware of how horrible things really have become, and they don't want to talk about that, and they just want to tamp it down, keep it quiet, don't look too closely at it because you'll be horrified by it.
Well, you wonder where the, and I think, you know, as you were into more of the arts, when I say arts, not the, you were, I don't know if you're an artiste, but when the behavioral science stuff, and economics really is a behavioral science, and the yep. part that I was never in business economics, but I mean, I took, you know, economics that was pretty much the same as sociology, really, and psychology, right? And it was on just a different vein. And when you, I mean, there's a certain logic to it, and this is, this is interesting always for me, Jan, is that when you don't get a whole lot of people, no matter where you are, whether you're, you know, Maddie Weber with the family in Iowa or Southern Illinois, people don't necessarily, nor should they really, have a clue that a currency is just is a product just like any other. And people don't think of it that way. They think the dollar is like a sacred something, but in fact, it is. You know, it's something. I mean, whether it was gold coins or silver coins. I mean, when the Romans first put their coins out, the amount of silver in the coin was roughly equal to a day's wage. Right, and there's a logic to that, right? So you knew you could go off that and say, well, okay, you know, three of these coins equals 3 days' wage, which is should equal, you know, probably food and all the other stuff for 3 days, right? There should be a relativity to everything. And there's a sense to that, but when you start thinking, when you have a president that lobs out, you know, I want some of these negative interest rates so I can spend more money and get paid for it. Well, okay, now what is the whole point of when you're going to construct anything? You need, you know, whatever you're doing. You need wood, concrete, whatever, a sink. You need floors. You know, by the way, if you don't have the money, somebody's got to give you the money to do it, right? I mean, that's the whole idea of an investment. Now, why should the guy who gives you the money or a lady not get paid for you using their dough, right? Because what happens is people who earn money and save aren't necessarily the people with the ideas to build something new and make 10-15% a year. Instead of you making 3% in the bank, which you used to be able to, they'd say, look, I'll give you 6 or 7, Mr. Flanagan, or a bond for 10 years, and I'm going to make 10 or 12, and you're going to do way better in the bank, and you're happy, and by the way, I'm going to be happy too. I mean, there's a vibrancy, there's a spin to it. It's why we're doing everything. And all of a sudden we go, wait a minute, no, you're not doing it anymore. We're going to pour so much money into the system that nobody's going to get paid for any excess money. Well, wait a minute, I earned it. You know, and somebody's using it. Why should they get to use it for free? Well, we think that's the better thing right now. Well, and you'll say, most of the time, you and I, John, we're, you know, Southside guys, we'll say, okay, we'll take one for the team for like a year or two or something. Even though we think it's a bad policy, we'll roll with it. We're not going to revolt over it. But now it's, you know, 8, 10, 12, thinking, well, where are we going, like, forever? Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Why does somebody get to use my dough for nothing? You know, there's no footing to that house, is there?
No. People get worn down by the tyranny of the whole system at that level, that you realize you're being used and that you're not, you know, there's nothing you can do about it. It's probably better in the long run if you want to sleep at night to think about other stuff, or, you know, put your energies into something where you do get some gratification immediately. But it's that your connection to the financial system now is so out of whack. You know, you see, you know, your tax dollars, you know, continually going up in number, and the quality of your life declining. And, you know, this is, you have to kind of accept that as, well, this is just the way things are. And, you know, where do you start to try to fix it? You can't fix it, so you just have to minimize its impact on you as much as you can. And that beats people up at all age levels. You know, it's tougher on the younger people, I bet, than it is even on me, because I kind of, you know, knew a time where that didn't seem to be the overwhelming impression people had about the way things work. And if I didn't know that, I'd see it as, this is just the rest of my life. Oh my God.
Well, I mean, you reach the point where economically, and I, you know, when people start arguing about the politics, I think a lot of it has to do, John, is that right now, when you don't have general growth, which we don't really of any sort, when you don't have general growth where if everybody's making 3% raise a year and the inflation's 2.5%, and you're getting ahead, you really don't spend your time at night worrying about the guy making 3.5% a year or 4%. As long as you're sober about it. But now, I think generally, right and left has a feeling, and you can tell from, you know, the Elizabeth Warren rantings and the people who are far left, they get the feeling that anybody, right now, I think if you see somebody who's all of a sudden got a 10% raise this year, the first thing that crosses your mind is, okay, who didn't get one because so he could get his 10. It's not about you hired Matty Weber and, oh, my God, he came up with a new system and saved the company $1 billion and we gave him a raise and a bonus. That used to be the first thing that popped into your mind. And, God, what did he do to deserve it? He probably did something pretty cool, you know? But that's not what people think now. Now they think, well, he must have screwed somebody else out of it, right? Or because that's really kind of, you know the people at Commonwealth Edison get a raise. Well, sure they got a raise. My electric bill's up $10. I didn't get a raise. And by the way, now I'm paying these idiots $10 more. You know, so, I mean, it's a mentality that's sort of changed. And it's come out to, I'm going to use the term dislike, hatred for other people on the political spectrum, thinking that they're the ones that are causing it. And yet I think the people that are benefiting by the strife and just keep moving along, taking advantage because they've got their paying off both sides. Or lack
that's
of a better.
Absolutely true. I think you look at the Democratic candidates' debates, and you know, as candidates, as soon as a candidate seems to leave the race, you got another candidate coming in to replace him or her. So I don't know where this thing is going to go, but they're all banking on some of the same stuff, and that it really is, it's class envy or it's a vendetta against a group that has always screwed you and people like you, and that we're going to get that. It's going to be different from now on. And that, to me, just, you know, it goes so far, I guess, in energizing people, but it shows that there is some resonance in whoever's spinning these campaign plans. This is what people actually believe, and this is how people respond when they go in to vote. And I just kind of shake my head because it's you know, you're not really addressing anything close to a solution to this, but you're just banking on people staying angry, at least until the next election cycle. Well, and we'll make you be angry at somebody else. So,
the election, the idea, you need to go down and vote. First of all, you know that I would be first person to say, yes, we should. It's a right we have. And my grandfather he came from Italy, thought you could actually go vote was an amazing thing to him. So he was, you know, in line first thing in the morning before he went to work. And, I go down the street of my precinct, and it's a joke, John. I mean, everybody's running on a pole. I mean, there's nothing we've talked about that I can possibly influence on that ballot. Zero. You know, I don't believe. Even in Illinois, you probably, even a presidential vote, whether you're Democratic or Republican, doesn't really matter whether the Democrats get 60 or 65, it's still, you know, I mean, we've gotten ourselves so whatever we are, that I don't think anybody who thinks walking down the block and it's better than that. If you have a right and you don't use it, you'll lose it, right? But it's not like that. You know, if I go for this guy as a state representative, somehow my whole homeless guy or people in Manteno I care about because my stepfather was there are going to get a better shake. I mean, it's like whacking away with a sledgehammer. I mean, who knows what you're going to get? Maybe a little better than the other guy, maybe not. I mean, you're not. There's no policy that anybody will actually tell you during a campaign. They'll actually make a promise and do. I mean, Trump, to his regard, actually did some of the stuff he said he was going to do, which is somewhat refreshing. As much as I hate to say it about him, the system to me is clearly broken. I mean, if the people who are in, I mean, when we talk about you're mentioning sort of the wealth thing, you shake your head at that, and so do I. But I also know that there's a lot of older people, and you know talk to some too since we're getting there. Hey, what happened to my $5 generics at Walmart? And now they're up to 30 or 40 or 50 or 100 or 150. What happened? This thing was a generic and now it's not. How the hell does that happen? All they know is that some people are gaming the system, and the people that are gaming the system are doing really, really well. And how in this day and age, when you look at the salaries of people we have in your company, how exactly does somebody get $1 billion? I mean, are they Edison? In which case, congratulate them. You know, are they somebody that stole somebody else's patent? I don't know. And people are looking at it now as saying, I'm gonna side with they stole something from somebody else, or they found a way to take a $5 pill and make it a $20 pill when it should have been $5. They don't have this confidence, John, that you and I do in our generation that the person who made the dough probably deserved it. Now, if somebody on the trading floor had a massive year, I would my hat be off to him. He was just smarter than me. Okay? But now, wait a minute. He's a trader and I can't be one and he gets a feed. No matter what I do, his feed from the exchange, because he's got him $1 billion. He's going to be a tenth of a second faster than mine, so I'll never be able to compete with him. To me, John, that's not getting it the right way. I mean, am I just being wrong here or what?
Oh, not at all. Not at all. And I think people are, you know, none of this can be addressed at the ballot box, no matter what, you know, yeah, who's running or whatever the race is. There's a systematic kind of looting of the system that seems to be, if not encouraged, it's permitted, or the people who have the oversight who could prevent it from happening aren't interested in doing that. And you can see it the last times I've voted, you know, in local elections here, the proliferation of unopposed candidates, whether it's judicial races or, other county offices, this is like an election in the former Soviet Union. Elections isn't about voting for the one candidate that's on there, but it's about choice. It's about a difference of opinion about how things should be done. And the system of elections is being corrupted in such a way that it shows they can't tolerate a really open election system either, because that would expose more than they'd ever want exposed, and it also would go to the heart of where the money is, and we don't want it just spread around willy-nilly among people. We want it in the hands of people we can control and keep those conduits of money flowing in the same direction all the time to the same destinations. And I can understand why people get cynical about voting, because I have a lot of that cynicism myself, and it doesn't seem like the things that are really wrong in this country are going to be addressed at the ballot box in any shape or form. I don't know how you all of a sudden get growth or how you get prosperity, by voting for people. That doesn't seem to be the key here. And then you have to have a much more philosophical discussion about things we have let happen or things that happen without our knowing about it, and that is not something that politics really is designed to fix right now in this kind of a climate.
Well, the old joke that what's the difference between us and Russia? One more candidate in Chicago, you don't even get that.
Yeah.
Right.
Or fake candidate. Yeah. Somebody who really isn't a candidate at all, but it's just there to confuse or distract the voter. And once the confusion has accomplished its purpose, that person has no political ambition or dreams of anything. They're going to get a job with a pension somewhere because they did exactly what they were supposed to do, and that was to sit on the ballot like they were interested in getting your vote. Well, that's a completely corrupt system. It's like,
how do you get a
result that you know isn't going to help them, and their votes are instrumental in making that happen, but the vote is a complete illusion.
Why do when Microsoft they get hot water about something when Bill Gates was still there? They got in hot water about something. I'm going to say this was 15 years ago, John. I can't remember the actual subject. And then of course you got all these articles from people about how they just didn't know how to play the political game, and how they spent way less proportion on lobbyists and other places because they weren't prepared. It was some antitrust thing or something, and how they just didn't learn enough about the game, and how they, and then a few years later, people writing articles about how they figured it out. They got five of the best lobbying firms and law firms in Washington, and they got a Washington presence, and they got this, that, and the other thing. Well, during those years that they were, I'll use the term political neophytes, according to some people anyway, I'm sure they really weren't, the stock was like $35. Well, since then, they've gone straight north. They just got this big cloud thing with the Pentagon, because Trump didn't like Amazon or whatever. And who knows how competitive they were, whether they're the best pick or not the best pick. Jeff Bezos says otherwise, because I don't know if I believe him. But, I mean, so all of a sudden, when they found their way to put their nose up the ass of government, they've done nothing but go straight north. And how does we don't even know what they're doing, or what on a monopolistic level they're doing or whatever, but it seems like they're doing something pretty good. Now, how is it that how do you and I and the listeners and everybody, what kind of a political action committee, or what kind of a candidate, or how do we push back on that? Or how do we push back on, Amazon somehow or another not paying state taxes for 30 years, and even now paying probably half of them that they're supposed to be paying? And how do we push back on patents, drug patents that seem to miraculously never end or something? or some of them are being extended, or this and the other thing. I mean, we would have to have, well, first, who would even run it? Who would we trust to be the moral soul to run it? And how much money would you need to have to fight back against the five big industries, for God's sake?
Right. You need more money than they have put together.
Yeah.
It's an oligarch system that, you know, the only way to beat them is to form your own oligarch and hope
right.
that you can get the same sanctions that you resent in the hands of somebody else. So it requires you to play by those rules, and that's, you know, hardly the solution. But I don't see there's no way of wresting control from, they're not like public utilities or anything where, you know, they're protected industries, and they're protected at so many levels that you can't whittle away at that.
No, it's like, what was the movie where this guy's running against, the system, the man, right? And he gets in, and he finally digs into the sewer a little bit, and he uses some of the same tactics, and he gets in, and somebody congratulates him, and he goes, "What do you congratulate me for? I've become what I detest."
I can't think of. I know what you're saying.
Yeah, it was a moment. He goes, "I've become what I detest. What do you congratulate me for?" I mean, is there no way to keep this somewhat clean? I don't. And if it doesn't, I don't see how. Maybe that's why democracies, go down on their own weight, not from conquered from the outside. Usually, I mean, if the people feel they're part of this, I don't know.
Well, the illusion starts to wear thin with people after, you know, a certain time when fatigue sets in. People realize that the system has all this, like with Thoreau says, they hear all the wheels spinning and the gears grinding, and it's just grinding you up. And the government justifies its own existence by keeping all this machinery in motion, but so there's nothing being produced of any real value, and your participation in it is essential because you got to pay your taxes, you got to, fall in line behind us, but there's nothing in it for you. I think the only way it ever really changes is when there are massive resets after collapses. So after 1893 or after 1929 and the fallout from that, things changed, and that worked for a while until that system became, ground up with everything else to make the baloney that was being made at the time, and it became, anathema to people as it started to benefit only certain people at the top, and then the system crashes, and then people reassemble it, and it's fair for a while. And the more I learn about financial collapses or economic revolutions in history, it seems like this is how things go, and there's no institutionalized protection against this corrupting influence all the time of greed.
Well, we got a couple minutes, Jan. I don't think the Constitution, which, was a brilliant document by anybody's stretch, I think, and I think understood, since the people in there were half thieves, right? They understood how thieves think. So the checks and balance system was pretty spectacular. I've been said on the show 100 times, I don't think that they have, that they anticipated, an entity, a corporation that never dies. And they didn't anticipate the ease with which people could influence elections, 1,000 miles from them, where you could never have done that by horseback back in when these guys were writing this thing up. And I think it needs some work in those areas. I mean, and I don't know whether we need a convention for it.
And the concept of allegiances to countries rather than to entities that override national boundaries, I think that was, I mean, they had Masonic duties and things like that, but they didn't conceive of something today at all like what we have with the economic system.
Well, did you ever read The Sovereign State of ITT?
No.
I'm going to grab a few of those from Kevin's old place, Better Word Books, and if you read the first chapter of that one, Harold Janine was talking about how the future is all multinational countries, and the buffoons that run the countries are just in the way, and you play with them, and you pay off their opponent, and it's all about the big guys, and it's not about them, and how they would do a much better job in the world if there were 20 massive corporations and 200 governments, kind of run the show. It's not like the governments have done such a good job. They might have somewhat of a point, but I'm kind of reluctant to go down that road too far. SP Futures up 250. John, thank you very much, buddy. NASDAQ Futures now. Now NASDAQ now flat. We'll be right back. Stocks and Jacks, Mr. David Adelman.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTIsecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTIsecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices, along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right
now. Well, I'm going to play Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howe, just my Weber on the board. This is David Adelman in a second. We have SP Futures down only up a quarter. We have the NASDAQ Futures down seven, so we've got a little bit of a downturn here, not huge, but a little bit. Dow's up 20 points. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX now down 59.4%, so a little, the headline is European stocks dip as Trump says restore mental tariffs on Brazil, Argentina. The problem with that is he did that a long time ago, so it can't be why we just dipped here in a second. FTSE down 15.2%, CAC around down 33%. 5.6 over in Asia. We got not much movement. Well, actually, we're bouncing back a little bit from Friday. Nikkei up 235. That's a full 1%. Shanghai up 3. Call that flat. Hang Seng come back a little bit from Friday. Loss of over like 2%. We're up 98 points, 0.4%. This is the interesting news of the morning, at least so far. 1.83 is our now 10-year. The Bund, minus 0.28, lowest we've seen. And get this one. Japan, minus 0.04. They're up 0.04 today. One more day like this, and they are positive, Maddie. Positive. I don't know if we're going to get there, but we will see. Silver down 14 cents. Gold down 7. 14.65. Gold's kind of mired between this 14.55 and 14.80 number now. I don't know if it's going to break out or not. Copper's still stuck on 265. That's giving us no hint of when China might break out of their malaise. Oil up 99 cents, but only up to 56.18. It was down last week. Now it's come back up. So right, we're in the still range, 53 to 58, I'd say. Brent up $1.6149. Natural gas, $2.31. RBOB gas, $1.61. Maddie, what do you have for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. A couple of crashes on I-90 already this morning. We have a crash blocking the two left lanes on the inbound side just before Mannheim Road. That's causing significant delays and building on coming in from the northwest suburbs on I-90. So keep that in mind just before Mannheim Road. And then further toward downtown, but on the outbound side at Nagel Avenue, there is an accident as well. So a couple of crashes on both sides of I-90 are our big concerns this morning. Still working on that overturned tanker truck that has the Bishop Ford closed between Sibley and 159th Street on the outbound side. So that crews are on the scene, and that's been taking place all morning. And the Bishop Ford is still closed on the outbound side at Sibley. And then on the inbound side, there's gaper traffic. So Bishop Ford very slow all morning. No issues coming in on I-57. The Ryan is busier than normal because of that Bishop Ford closure, but no accidents to report. Stevenson and Eisenhower traffic building, but no accidents to report. Off the expressways, one crash, and that's in the Western Burbs. Irving Park Road at York Road, we have an accident. But everything else looking okay out there. Weather today, a cloudy and cold day today. With a high of just 36 degrees, could see some sunshine this afternoon. Right now it's overcast and 32, with a wind chill of about 20. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy skies with a high of 70 today. Right now it's mostly clear and 44. In sports, Arizona Cardinals were blown out at home yesterday in NFL action, losing to the Rams 34-7. The Bears, of course, played on Thanksgiving. They'll return to action Thursday. Soldier Field looking to get above 500 for the first time in several weeks as they'll welcome the Dallas Cowboys to town for Thursday Night Football. Sunday Night Football last night, it was the Texans upsetting the Patriots 28-22. NBA basketball, Bulls were off. They're at the Kings tonight in Sacramento, 9 p.m. Chicago time tip. Suns were off. They'll travel to Charlotte to take on the Hornets tonight. That's a 5 p.m. Arizona time tip-off. Blackhawks return to home tonight. They'll host the first-place St. Louis Blues at 7:30. And in college hoops, it was the Arizona Wildcats over Wake Forest, 73-66. Chief.
David, how are you?
I'm fine.
What? We were up, and now we're flat. Flat. We were flat in Europe, and now we're down over there a little bit, so I don't know. I can't. So far this morning, there's not a whole lot of a read you can get out of anything.
Well, one read I talked about last week, when you see a big movement, both in magnitude and in relationship between the 10-year and the 30-year, it tends to move the equity markets, and we are having that. You have the 10-year down 13.30 seconds, and the bonds, 30-year bonds, down 1.09, or the equivalent of 41. That would suggest to me that it's not a perfect correlation, but it is about 70%, I'd say, over the last 6 months, that the market moves higher.
When bonds move lower?
When there's a big change, and vice versa. In other words, if bonds are up 30 and the notes are up 10, then the market tends to break. And when it's like this, when they're not only down, but because it's good for the financials and the like, and you know, and suggests you know an improving economy, typically the market rallies. Again, it's not perfect, but I'd say it's about a 70% correlation over the last 6 months.
What You just gave a very good explanation of the new world.
The old world was totally different.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if someday, somewhere, unlike what my Fed chairman tells me, don't pay any attention to those old formulas. I'm not so sure I'm willing to do that necessarily. And
no, overall, you know, typically the market's going to respond favorably to, you know, lower rates and unfavorably to higher rates. But for the short-term swings, that has not been the case, especially the last 6 months.
Yeah, I was kind of mentioning that a little bit to Jan earlier, is that we've got this kind of a mishmash sort of thing that you have, if you have, like, some companies, for instance, maybe taking advantage of their political, whatever you want to call it, closeness to people that seem to be getting a lot more than they want, instead of being mad at how they're getting it and throwing a politician out of office. A lot of people like the idea that that stock is going up and they're getting wealthy there, even though, I mean, there's some people, if gas went to $5 a gallon, I guess if you owned Exxon, you're supposed to be happy about it, right? Even though I think that gas going to $5 a gallon probably harms more people than own the stock. But that would just be me. Although I would still be like one of the people that own the stock, right?
Right.
I think the simple fact is if we get bonds positive in Japan and bonds positive in Germany, which we're not there yet, by the way, or if we get a 10-year yield here at 2.5-3 because somebody sniffs out inflation like you and I have been talking about, I mean, I think somebody can talk all they want about how that might be good for some major banks that already have every advantage on earth, but it's not going to be good for stocks, because now you, instead of, there's people that are dying to put their money someplace for 3% and not have to be in a stock.
No, I get what you're saying. It might be good for the financials. Some of that's probably already factored in. But for the rest of the market, it's if you're a renter of oil equipment like United Rentals or whatever, that's probably not good news.
Right, and because I've been places, and I'll say in the health club, David, and in the library, and in the coffee shop, where you hear a lot of young traders will say, "Well, whenever bonds go down, stocks go down." And I'm thinking, whenever bonds go down, stocks go up. And I go, no, that's not necessarily.
When they do, let's pretend that I'm accurate in my correlation, because I study things like this all the time. Let's pretend it's only for short term. It's a day or two.
Yeah. I'm saying
it's very short term.
I would never debate you on the fact that you're accurate. I know you are, because you study that stuff more than I do. But if it extended out, it's kind of the other way around.
No. That's not a mega trend or a long-lasting trend. It's a trend for an hour, 2 hours, maybe a day, maybe carry over a second day. That's it.
It's sort of like the first inch of rain. We're good for the grass and the plants. You don't have to water. The next 4 inches, we're sandbagging, right?
Right.
They're not so good for anything.
I like the analogy.
Yeah, it's like, I'm reaching a point. I don't know when it's going to come, David. And someday, somewhere, and maybe we're seeing the first whisper of it. As I mentioned to Jan, the idea of investing people's money, it's just a horse bleep trade. To give your money to somebody for nothing for 10 years. How can that be the backbone of your investment philosophy and your market theory, right? I mean, just somebody using somebody else's money for free. It hasn't been that way for, 10,000 years of human existence.
Or if you're in Japan, paying somebody to take your money.
Yeah. Well, I mean, most of this, I don't know how the system in Japan works. Maybe you do, I'm asking. I bet my Fed guys would know, but the little I've read over in Europe, when they say negative interest rates, I don't think the saver, of course, you can get there through fees in other places, and I don't want to go into that. I don't think the saver with less than 5 or 10,000 euro dollars has ever gotten a fee to in a bank over there. I don't think they've ever.
No, it has to do with what you get on the back end of your note.
No, what I'm saying is I think if people put 2 million euros in a bank, that there was some sort of a fee where they actually were negative. But I think they've kept it so that every man Didn't we talk about it, I want to say 6 months ago, David, you and I, about how they just went to like from 150,000 euros to 100 or something, where you were having to pay, you know, 0.1% or something to keep it into a bank. But then if you and I were over there just working stiffs and had a regular checking account, I don't think it got to the point where they were dinging us for interest. Now, maybe there was a fee if you didn't keep this much in, or
I don't know that, and I don't recall you and I talking about that, but maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I did with somebody. I was wondering in Japan if it went all the way down to the bottom, you know, to where you put, you know, 10,000 in a bank account, and at the end of the year you had, you know, 99.50 or something.
If it's a 1 year maturity, I think that is the answer.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, the only saving grace, I guess, is that, you know, supposedly that, you know, eats up some of your loss by, you know, deflation. You understand what I'm saying? That it's if your buying power is down, and I'm just picking numbers out of the sky. If your buying power is down 10%, and you only lose 0.5%. But your money is safe, that's a benefit. I mean, it all seems kind of preposterous to me. But I would presume that's kind of the psychology behind it.
Well, but I mean, the idea of you and I providing, of somehow somebody came up with a law to encourage building, the 10 people that own concrete firms, which of course you and I would be unlucky enough to be in, have to provide concrete for like free. You're like, okay, why is that? Well, because we need new buildings. So the guys who provide the concrete.
That might happen.
Yeah, but the guys who provide the concrete and the steel got to do it for no profit. Well, why is that exactly? I mean, you either have a free economy or you don't. I mean, if you start picking winners like that, which we seem to be pretty good at doing now.
Hey, just ask Japan, since they own 30% of the Nikkei.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I mean, we've been talking about the government's involvement and all this stuff, and you wonder if you were to, I mean, if you went over to Tripoli Tap, the, you know, official drinking hole of Stocks and Jacks, and somehow or another, to prop up the beer industry, you know, President Nixon came on down like his wage and price controls and said, you have to sell, beer to the Tripoli Tap for no profit or for free. Let's say no profit. All right, so Nick's getting his beer for $1. And you walk in, and he just raised the prices to $8, and you go, wait a minute, it's not exactly the spirit of what we're trying to do here.
Right.
I mean, which the drug companies clearly, you know, these guys are, they're talking about amoral. I mean, I just wonder how long you can go with something that makes no sense.
Well, I mean, ask Japan. Yeah. I mean, Europe is more new to this, but Japan's been doing this for a long, long time.
Well, and the answer is a lot longer than you think.
Right.
I mean, how long do you think you could go where instead of charging people even a small amount for commissions in electronic age, you don't charge them anything and you get kickbacks on the other end for doing a crummy job on their order?
Yeah, okay. You let someone else middle the bid offer, or you get paid for order flow. Or you just hope for enough, you know, margin debit that you can squeeze the, you know, bid ask there.
Right. And it's...
I mean, there isn't anything for free. I mean,
no.
People think that they are, and the ads say, oh, free, 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 free. But we know that there are people there who are getting paid. There's rent. There's this. There's that. There's risk, write-offs, the like. It has to be covered.
Yeah, I remember, David, we did a seminar in Vegas. We didn't do a seminar, but it was a CBO. We did something there. Anyway, I was one of the speakers, and there were, one guy says, well, what are you... What do you think about electronic order flow or something, or online trading? And I said, well, what do you think about it? And he goes, well, it's terrific. And I go, how come? He says, well, because I don't have to talk to my broker. I go, okay. I said, let me help you with that one. I said...
I bet that triggered you a little bit.
I said, no, it really is that your broker doesn't have to talk to you. I mean, right? I mean, come on. So I said to the guy, by the way, what are you? What do you do for a living? He goes, well, I'm a dentist. I said, well, can I come get my teeth cleaned tomorrow for free? He goes, well, hell no. I said, well, why do you get to talk to my brother Dan for free? Well, because other guys are doing it for free. They don't have my brother Dan or me, I mean, or you. They don't have, I mean, if you want to talk to somebody, it's going to help you out. I said, somebody's going to find a way to get paid. Okay, now we're seeing shifts in the industry. If you want to get paid like an attorney, you talk to Dan for a half hour, it's $100. He'll do that. You know, I mean, it's, you see people, you know, ragging on people in the real estate industry all the time. Obviously, Audrey's in real estate, so I have some. People say, well, they make way too much money. Well, why is that? Well, because they're making, you know, whatever, 5% or 6%. They keep saying 6%, but nobody does. It's 5%. I said, okay, but do you realize that they pay for the ads? Well, actually, no, I didn't realize that. That they pay for, like, the pictures and stuff of your house.
Who do they think pays for it?
I said, I'll tell you what. I know that Audrey will cut you this deal in a second. I said, if you pay for all your ads, you pay for all your pictures, you pay for all the stuff she puts together for your house to hands out to people, and you charged her, and she charged you $250 an hour like an attorney, or $150 to cart your ass all over in a car and show you houses that you say you like, then you don't, without any obligation to buy anything from her, she'll cut you that deal in a second. You want to do that? Well, hell no. Well, why? Well, because, okay. But, right?
Or she may even, you know, cut her commission from 5 to 3, but you have to pay all the expenses, which are substantial.
And by the way, it's $50 an hour to cart you around.
Right.
You know, I mean, so the, or you want to pay for gas, you don't pay anything else. Well, no, I don't pay any of that stuff. Well, then, this is, there's always an alternative deal. Propose it. Well, I don't want to pay.
Nobody's going to give their time and effort. And that's why I just wonder, unless there's just enough measures by Japan's government stimulating the economy, how in the world they can buy, you know, a big chunk, 25% to 30% of the Nikkei, and, you know, get people to give them money for negative interest rates, and how the pieces fall in line where they can make out.
Well, what if they find out, David, that they creep above zero and maybe like get to a percent or two, perish the thought, and the economy actually started picking up a little bit? Would they ever admit that for 25 years they were wrong?
I doubt it. And they change regimes. I mean, you know, it's no set thing. You know, they can have a recall vote or whatever when, you know, they decide to need an election.
Well, are we going to dig out a word here that I don't even want to say it? It's like playing golf and saying, you know, shank. You know, you're not supposed to say it, right?
Ugliest word in golf.
Yeah, the shank. You bring it out and immediately somebody shanks. What do you have to say that word for? Are we going to have to drag out the stagflation name word?
Is it? You know, nobody will believe it. I mean, you and I do, and I think it's been around for 20 years, 25 years, but, you know, they won't admit the real inflation numbers, as we've talked about many times before. They can't because of entitlements and everything else.
Well, but in the other countries, at some point, somebody's going to say, no, you're not using my dough for me paying you. I mean, it really is. It's a trade. I mean,
I mean, if the real GDP is 1.5, you know, and I'm probably being charitable if you take inflation out, and the real inflation is 4, which is what we truly believe, and at times it's ticked even to 5, you know, you're not going to get rates as low as they are.
Well, you are. The only way you do is if the buyer of last resort is the Fed.
I mean, right.
The only person, I mean, if you're rational, I mean, I don't think these formulas change much. If you're rational, you sit there and you say, all right, I'm going to lend David money for his new building. I'm going to lend him money for 5 years. So there's a return I want on my dough, right? Say 2.5, 3%, which has been, I'm going to say 2.5 has been the standard real rate of interest for like millenniums. But wow, it looks like to me like there's inflation's 2%. So 2.5 times what I'm charging him for my money, plus 2%, to which my money's worth less at the end of the year. I guess that equals 4.5. David, do you want that deal? I mean, David might say, "Hey, your inflation number's too high." I mean, so we might fight about 4.25, 4.75, but basically that's the formula. It's pretty simple, right?
Right.
And so for somebody to say, "Well, no, I'm giving you nothing," well, you're just like, "Okay, I don't get where that one comes from." So the only person who's going to come and do that would be a central bank. I mean, why would anybody? If you know, you and I both manage money. Somebody brings Jan Flanagan's dad comes in $1 million. I said, Jan, I just went out and bought this bond in Germany for for a negative 6 interest rate. And he's like, well, why would you do that? Either you're a blithering idiot, or you say this this Draghi guy is going to come pay higher tomorrow, and he does. Right? I mean, then all of a sudden it's a good trade. You know, until one day the Lone Ranger is not coming over the top of the hill. And I'm wondering if we're getting to that point. Maybe the change in tone is this Christine Lagarde, because there has been a change in tone since she got in.
Maybe. I mean, I certainly think that she's has a better history and you know, just more educated and whatever, and more respondent to policy in the position she's been in than Draghi was.
Manny has a question for you, Twitter dude.
Oh, yeah, we have a Twitter question. David says, ask David what he sees for the USA dollar index.
I'd say trade in a range, and I don't want to be evasive, but I you know, it gets to where, oh, it's topped, and then it rebounds, and, oh, you know, it's out of control to the upside, and then it fails. You know, 2% up, 2% down, I don't see a major, major trade. I really don't. They got everything in a band, and they're keeping it there. And when I say they, it's the central banks.
Well, I'll add to that a little bit, or at least ask you another question, follow-up question, David. I think that the dollar, all the stuff we're talking about, with these interest rates and stuff, it seems like the movement they're doing, they're moving together. Now, the question is, on top of that, if interest rates are seemingly creeping up to 10-year in Japan, Europe, and here, is there anything on the horizon that says, well, the Japan's going to go that way and we're not, or Europe? I mean, is there anything? I don't see anything, and I don't look at it as close as you do. I don't see anything like the question I think you asked, where we're going to do something different than they are, or they're going to do something different than we are. Do you, right now on the horizon?
No, no. I mean, the one that's been under pressure because a lot of the, you know, haven trade, if you would, has been the yen. I mean, that is, you know, in an all-out freefall. But other than that, the rest are in bands, even the British pound.
What is all the messing around with China and Russia and those other guys? They're just also rants, pretty much?
I don't know. I'm not sure I understand what you mean by also rants.
Does movement in the Chinese currency, does it affect one of the ones you just mentioned more than the others, or is it all kind of in the
Australian
same?
Dollar.
Okay. But it doesn't... It's not going to affect it. Well, I would
just
say
because they're such close trading partners and the like.
They're closer with Australia than they are with the Japan?
Oh, yes.
Okay. I did not know that. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, what do you make this week? I mean, the tout is that we just keep creeping up.
I can't, literally, until you show me exhaustion or weekly reversal or gap to new highs, close lower, and then gap lower the next day. I mean, I want to be negative. I do see, you know, a fair bit of extension in the price of momentum oscillators, but it hasn't made a difference. Every 2% drop has been bought, and you actually have to sell it on some big-time reversal or sign of exhaustion. You cannot stand in front because every break is supported. So though in my heart, oh, it needs and deserves a break, it's the wrong season, and the market acts terrific, and I wouldn't be buying rallies, that's for sure. But if you get 2%, 3% break, to me right now, you have to buy it.
What if anything, I made the comment earlier that, and of course, without any other than observation and years of doing this, I sense more of a seller strike than any real buying, other than you know, the Fed pouring money in.
How do you sell the market? Well, when you do, you're wrong.
You got companies buying and you got Fed buying. And people are looking at it and they're saying, why should I sell enough to overcome that, is what I'm seeing.
Right.
I is there any chance that this the buying from individual companies dries up or not? It looks like they just love
doing
it.
There's a little bit of that. I mean, some of the stock buybacks have alleviated a little bit, and I think that's maybe that would help get a little bit of a needed correction, but, you know, the market just... It rebounds from everything. You got impeachment inquiries and declarations and this and pushing forward all week. Doesn't matter. Market's up.
Well, if you look at the movement of the Fed balance sheet and last year at this time, how they were trying to knock it down a little bit and the market reacted negatively, and then they said, oh, we'll stop that for a while, and then they said, okay, we're going the other way. We've done exactly what, and I... I keep saying this, David, every decade I say, all I'm going to do is look at the Fed numbers, give it about 3 weeks delay and go the way they're going, and then I always get the idea that, well, everybody's seeing it. I'm not the only one seeing it. It can't be that obvious, but it is.
I mean, it's what you're seeing, just like I see the movement in the 10-year note versus the 30-year bond. Same thing.
Yep. All right, David, thank you very much, okay, buddy. SP Futures up 2.25. NASDAQ flat. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
Hey, guys. What's up, G? Want to go to Tchotchke's? Get some coffee?
Oh, it's a little early.
I got to get out of here. I think I'm going to lose it.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.